96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So you have a business idea. But one of the questions you're probably asking yourself is, should you do it alone or should you have a business partner? There are no hard or fast answers. It depends on everything. Well, tonight we have three perspectives on business partnerships. My guests are Ron Busby, president of the U.S. Black Chambers Incorporated, Veronica Gian, founder and CEO of V Agency Incorporated, and Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Community Cafe here in the district. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment about business partnerships. Should you go with one or not? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHUR. FM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So let me start with you, Ron. What determines whether or not someone should have a business partner when they are trying to develop a business plan?
That's a great question. We at the U.S. Black Chamber, we have over, close to 300,000 business members across the country, and there's no one easy answer to that. I have been a sole proprietor. I have been in a family business, and I've also owned a business with three other business partners. All of them have some strengths as well as some weaknesses. I think some of the things that young people need to think about in reference to going into business is where are their strengths as well as where are their weaknesses, and they need to understand those going in early. And a partner can help you with some of the weaknesses that you possibly may have. And the other thing I want people to make sure that they think about is the exit strategy when they go into business when they're looking for a partner. Because many times you may bring on someone that you think can help you start your organization, but you have two different visions of where you want to end up. So it's as important as their strengths that they bring, it's also the end game. And collectively, you can get there quicker in many occasions when you do have a partner. But if you know that it's a short-term window, you can put up with some of the things that maybe in some other situations you may not trying to get to that end goal. But I'd also want to tell young people that when they're looking at perhaps starting a business, perhaps they may want to find someone that's already in that particular business, either go volunteer for them, work for them part-time with a long-term strategy that ultimately I am going to take over this business. But I want to learn as much as I can from the current owner, bringing the skills that I have recently learned from college or the latest technology, implement that into a sustaining business and perhaps take that to the next level to where that now you can own a business without having all of the responsibility of starting it yourself.
Veronica, you have several businesses. Are you pro-partnership or no?
For me, it depends on the situation. So for my main business, which is V Agency, I don't have a partner. But on my other businesses, I do have a partner because my time is limited. So one of my businesses, VNJ Productions, is a production company. I'm more of the silent partner, and my partner runs the day-to-day. So for me, it's really situational. But the key to, I think, a successful partnership is setting your expectations and being clear about your boundaries. So with V&J Productions, my partner's great. She's great at running day-to-day, but I have my lane, which is communications, PR, marketing. And we have a clear understanding. You stay in your lane, I'm going to stay in mine, and let's make this work.
Define silent partner for us.
So silent partner. So we are 50-50 partners, but she's the face of the company. So unless we announce that, no one knows that I am a partner in V&J Productions. Mm-hmm. So I'm just the productions executive producer.
You're kind of in the background.
Right. Very background, but she is the face of the company.
But how does that impact decisions that are made?
So because we have 50-50, we have equal say-so. So behind the scenes, we are equal partners. But when we are out front conducting business, she's the person that's going to, that represents V&J Productions. But let's make it clear, behind the scenes, we've already had the conversation. We're on the same page.
I see. Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about business partners, the pros and cons, whether you're thinking about starting a business or whether or not, or whether you've been in a business for a period of time and are thinking about picking up a partner or perhaps separating from a partner. Faith, you have a business partner, correct? Pro or con on business partners?
I think business partners are wonderful. I think that you, as Veronica stated, you really need to know where people's strengths lie. As long as you have people who have complementary strengths, you know, there are so many different aspects that need to be covered in business ownership. If you both have the same strengths, it can get messy. Because that hasn't been my experience necessarily, but I just know from going through this process that it's helpful if you have complementary areas of expertise. So like one of the areas of expertise for myself, I created, you know, Love and Faith Community Cafe. I do the baking. I do all the creating. I kind of set the tone. But my business partner, she really excels at creating beautiful spaces, you know, so that isn't necessarily an element that I thrive in. I thrive in the, you know, if you've ever tasted my foods, I thrive in the creation of deliciousness, but she helped really set the tone for the ambiance and the experience that you walk into. You know, it's interesting, though, when you create a business with someone else, there's a lot of things that you don't know you don't know. So although you have to set the expectations early on in a business partnership, you also need to realize that you're going to come upon things in that business relationship, in that partnership, that you're like, oh, we didn't know we'd need to address this issue. So you need to be like generous with one another, and you need to be forgiving and give the other person the benefit of the doubt and really work together. Having a really solid relationship is a key to any good relationship. And no, I think one of the reasons why me and my business partner have done as well as we've done is because we're very close. We're very good friends and we trust each other implicitly. And we know we have the back of the other person. If we didn't have that, it'd be a disaster.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about business partnerships, the pros and the cons. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? If you've had an experience with it, or if you have any questions, please give us a call. Lines are open. Let's talk to Ashley. Ashley, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
I had a question. I wanted to know, is it a good idea to partner with a friend after you pitched the business I did to them? They pretty much turned it down, but once you did all the groundwork and the footwork and started getting everything going, now they want to be a part of it. Would that be a good idea?
That doesn't sound like a friend, but but that's just my opinion. I'm going to let Ron start with that, and I'm going to take a break, and then we'll continue. Ron, real quick, your thoughts about that?
Well, that's the same kind of conversation that you may have with a family-owned business. Your father or mother started a firm. You went off to college or whatever, had a career, and then you decided, or you're having the conversation, should I come back home to take over the family business, to get involved? My mom and dad had it going in one direction, and I want to take it in another direction. I want to make sure that you understand, as many of us have been talking about here and before we were on air, that a partner is like a marriage, and you really have to understand both parties in this relationship. And I don't know if bringing someone on after doing a lot of the legwork is really going to be a long-term partner, but I don't want you to necessarily be turned off from that as well, because many times people want to see how much of the legwork are you going to put in, because the other person may be bringing other resources and skills that may be better suited for them once you get some of the things done that needed to be done early on. And so from that perspective, don't necessarily turn them off, but just be very diligent about what it is you're looking for long term and the value that they perhaps may bring to you.
I want to give Veronica and Faith to chime in. So, Ashley, I want you to hang on because I need to take a break. But lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about business partnerships, the pros and the cons. New business or old business, picking a partner up or even letting one go. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Lines are still open again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our discussion tonight about the pros and the cons of having a business partner. My guests are Ron Busby, president of the U.S. Black Chambers Incorporated, Veronica Gian, founder and CEO of V Agency Incorporated, and Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Community Cafe. If you have a question, if you have a comment about business partnerships, the pros and the cons, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Veronica, this is right up your alley, considering what you were discussing before about one of your other businesses, that 50-50 kind of relationship. Ashley apparently has already done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So should she pick up her friend?
Ashley, I would say, what does your gut say? So if you're already questioning it, it's probably not the best partnership to get into. But like Ron said, what are they bringing to the table? You really have to look at what are your skill sets, what are your needs, and what does the other person bring to the table. And with any relationship, communication is key. So, you know, I would say if they didn't believe in you when you pitched the idea, are they really going to believe in the business? So I would think about that.
Faith, your thoughts about that?
Well, I think number one, I kind of heard also a question in your voice about your own value. So I think you as the creator of something have to really know your value in what it is that you're creating. And to kind of, you know, speak to the business partner who's now ready to come on board, sometimes people in your life need to see that you're willing to do that work. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes the legwork really has to be laid, but make sure that, you know, if they're not bringing 50% of the revenue to start the business to the table, or 50% of the idea or the work, don't give them 50% of the business. You know, so that's when you negotiate. You're like, okay, I've done all this work and I need X amount of money, and this is the equity split mm-hmm. that we should share with one another. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of I think how I would deal with something like that.
Ashley, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This brings me to the next question. Ashley was talking about a friend. Now, Ron, you mentioned a family business. What are the risks of partnering with a family member?
Well, that's a great question. I will say this. I took over a family business, and my father's philosophy was keep it small and keep it all. He had a very small business, but he made enough money to take care of his family, sent us all to college, and paid his mortgage. My philosophy was to grow it, to expand it. At the end of the day, we were both successful in our own vein and our own likes. I think in reference to taking over a family business, it's just like anything else. You have to have those conversations often and early, because in many times family are just as complicated as anyone from the outside that you will now be in business with. But the fortunate or unfortunate part is you see them dinners, family reunions, you know, on Sunday brunches. I think it is a more complicated opportunity for family to go into business for themselves. I want you to understand this. Of the 2.6, 2.7 million African-American-owned businesses that are currently existing in the United States, 2.5 million of them have no employees, no partners. So they're sole proprietor, wow, doing business by themselves. Currently, there's less than 120,000 black-owned businesses that either have a partner or an employee. And so most of the businesses that come out of our communities are sole proprietor, doing it by themselves. And I recommend that it's always great to have someone else, either a partner or at least a board of directors. And sometimes I think people get caught up in having a business partner as opposed to just having strategic partners, folk that can come in that will complement your weaknesses from a legal perspective, from an accounting perspective. Many of us don't have the credit. We go into business for ourselves with a great idea. We put a lot of sweat equity into it. And when we're trying to take it to that next level, or we need the funding to get started, we end up having to go to a partner because we haven't really thought out the long-term strategy. And so sometimes it's better to have a board of directors as opposed to someone that has some ownership in the organization itself.
You know, you make an interesting point. Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, when he got started in his grandmother's basement in a Georgetown row house, he was, in 1996, he was in debt by some $16,000 plus $40,000 in credit card debt, but he had a partner, Kip Falk. And I know this because I've had the pleasure of hearing him speak about this. If it were not for his partner, there would be no Under Armour because he didn't have the credit. He had the ideas.
Yep.
Falk had the credit. And of course, Grandma had the basement. So let's not forget about Grandma. But but I'm also reminded, Veronica, that in The Godfather, there's a famous line. This is not personal; it's business. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about dealing with family, how do you balance that kind of attitude when you know the bottom line is not family but green?
I would say, like you said, it's not personal, it's business. And it's very tough when you're in a family situation or even a friendship to separate the two. But it's a daily reminder, it's a daily work to say, hey, you know what, I'm gonna take the emotion out of this. It's not personal, it's business. Communication is the key. Make sure that if you are going to go into a partnership, that you know what your expectations are and you can communicate well. Because if you can talk things through, it'll work. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have good days and bad days. But as long as you have that firm foundation of trust and knowing that, you know what, maybe today was a good day. I don't like how, you know, we might have business disagreements, but I still know that that person has my best interest at heart. And I think that's how you manage that.
But how can you take the emotions out of a business when you've got a business that's called love and faith?
I mean, it's impossible.
You know, come on, there's just it's not personal, it's love and faith. You know, I mean, it doesn't get any, you know, deeper than that, but name notwithstanding, Faith, have you had to address some of those really hardcore, it's not personal, it's business issues?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, our business has really, really struggled. We opened in an area of the city that was changing and that didn't have retail before we moved in. So we have really struggled. And my business partner kept saying, hey, Faith, we don't have enough money here to get started. And I had another business that was successful. And as soon as I opened my doors, I had lines. And she's like, that's not going to be the case here. And I'm like, of course it will. And I'm stubborn and I'm a hard worker. And I'm like, I'll be able to figure it out. And I robbed from Peter to pay Paul. And I wasn't able to figure it out. So now my business partner is kind of looking at me like, didn't I warn you about this? And I'm going, and then I, being the front person, am feeling shame and feeling embarrassment and feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, now not only have I let myself down, but I've let my best friend down. I've let my community down. So it's very hard to take the emotion out of things, you know, but at the same time, again, I come back to, you don't know what you don't know when you're going into it. So communication is the key. We're trying to sell Love and Faith Community Cafe right now as we speak. So if there are any people out there who are looking for a beautiful, cute space that just needs a little bit of love and attention and marketing, please give us a call. But it's been a process for both of us. She owns another business altogether, so she's not there on the day-to-day. But like when you have a business partner who isn't there on the day-to-day, it can create certain challenges. Because, for example, this is a little bit of a silly example, but very true. Like, okay, so we serve homemade ice cream using liquid nitrogen that we freeze right in front of you. And I feel like generosity is a very important element to food service. So I tend to serve very large scoops. And she's like, those scoops are too large. We need to cut back. And she has a point, but at the same time, I'm there with the customer, hearing the customer's responses every day. And when I'm hearing from our customers, your prices are too expensive or things like that, and I'm serving, my prices are the same as the gelato place down the street, but there's more quality and a larger serving size, I feel like it's a good way to make up for that. But then she might have a different idea, and I'm going, but I'm dealing with the customer every day, so I kind of have to make certain decisions that I feel like are going to be beneficial for our clientele.
Talk to me about that decision-making process, Ron, because there are times when you and your partner or partners, plural, are going to come to loggerheads, and there aren't going to be the kinds of easygoing discussions, but everybody wants the business to be successful. How do you compromise, whether it's over, you know, larger scoops of ice cream, marketing and branding, or, yeah, you know, whatever your service happens to be?
I had the opportunity to have three business partners. We were officed in Phoenix, Arizona, had a partner that was in Atlanta, Georgia, one that was in San Francisco, and one that was in Ohio. What I have heard all of us talk about is a lot of emotion, a lot of trust and friendships. For your listeners, take all that out of the equation. It's got to be about the business plan. Mm. And if you map it out early on in the conversation, it will take a lot of the emotional stress out of running it. And so when you're faced with difficult decisions, do we go get a line of credit? Do we borrow from family and friends? Do we refinance my home? Or, you know, do we give out larger scoops in that business plan? And so many of us write it to go get the loan, or we write it to get started, and then we file it away. And we may not look at it again until the next year or 5-year anniversary. But if we've thought it through early on in the development of it, it makes the day-to-day operation so much smoother. And I think for most small business owners, they have a great idea and they go from idea to concept. It was never, let me think this through, let me plan this out, let me get input from other people that have been successful and failed and find out, is this a good idea? And when I face these kinds of conversations and these kinds of decisions, where do we go? Do I go left or do I go right? And many times, if you've thought that into your business plan, it makes a lot of those decisions so much easier to deal with.
Yeah. You know, Veronica, you spoke earlier about being a silent partner. One of the other things that was discussed with the caller was somebody coming in after the business has been established. And I'm not necessarily talking about someone that you tried to sell the idea to in the beginning and they said no, and now they see that you're successful. But you may be in a position where you start out on your own and you are successful, but things become a bit unwieldy and you want to bring in a partner, but you also want them to bring with them a commitment. Here is the marriage metaphor again, yes, which we've been hitting on quite a bit today. And I think that, how do you bring them in when you're talking about a buy-in, when you're talking about finances? What kind of discussion is that?
It has to be a very transparent, frank conversation. You don't marry someone on the second date, right? So you really have to know what's their financial position? what's their asset looking like? What kind of debt are they in? What kind of personality? What are they bringing? So you really have to know that person before you make that commitment. Because guess what? Just like a marriage, once you go into a partnership, getting out of it is more challenging than getting into it. So make sure you get to know that person inside and out, including their financial situation, including their decision-making skills. How do they manage money? Because all those factors are going to come into play when you're in business with them. You know, I've been in business for 11 years. It'll be 11 years in April. It's not easy. It's a very, very lonely journey. So if you find the right person to share that journey with, that's great. But once again, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? What is my personality? Do I like talking to somebody else before I make a decision? Or am I the type of person that wants to make the decision and move? So you have to look at yourself also.
Need to take a break. We're talking about business partnerships, the pros and the cons. We've spoken about getting in the beginning, getting in the middle. Well, what do you do when you need to get out? Or perhaps you want one of your partners to get out. We'll talk about it. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, what's up, world? It's a Sway Calloway from Shade 45.
I'm Heather. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about the pros and cons of having a business partner. My guest is R. Ron Busby, president of the U.S. Black Chambers Incorporated, Veronica Gian, founder and CEO of V Agency, Inc., and Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Community Cafe. Lines are still open if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Faith, if you decide that it's time for you and your partner to part ways, friends or family or just straight business partner, how do you begin to have that conversation? How do you begin to have the conversation with yourself?
Honesty is the best policy in all situations. So the very first thing you have to do is really be honest with yourself and what you bring to the table, what your business partner brings to the table, and what challenges you have. Then you need to bring it to that entity or that person. And it may look like a buyout. It might be, you know, like if they've invested certain things, you might need to try to buy them out of the business. Or it may just be, we need to split ways. And what does it look like for us to do that? But it's all about communication and being really clear and what you feel needs to happen. And also being open to hearing what the other person in that partnership wants.
How do you determine, Ron, the value of a company if you are going to buy a partner or partners out? Do you just look at the revenue sheet and say, okay, I've made $1 million this year. I have one partner, so I need to pay that person $500,000 and that's the way it goes? Or is there more to it than that?
Well, great question. I've been on both sides of that, bought out some partners, sold part of my partnership. And again, I say it's just like the prenuptial agreement that we're discussing in a marriage. And if you set it up front and you say, hey, look, I'm coming in at 50% or I'm coming in at 30%, then if you have the business plan up front, part of that business plan has got to be the valuation of the company today, in the middle, and in the future, and it will be spelled out. That takes all that emotion out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing in reference to communication, the exit strategy is extremely important. Again, if I'm in it to transition it off to my sons, or I want to sell it, you know, when I retire, that's one conversation versus someone else saying, hey, I want to get it to where it's, you know, $10 million or $50 million, and then when we want to sell it. Those are two conversations that are totally different, and I think the communication on the front end eliminates a lot of the stress of when you're getting ready to get out. It's just like anything else in reference to a marriage or a divorce or even hiring and firing employees. I think you just need to think about it up front. It makes a lot of it easier. But in reference to selling the business, there are multiple ideas and strategies out there to tell you in reference to the evaluation of what a company's value is worth.
Now, Veronica, you mentioned something before the break about being in business for 11 years and talking about the difficulty of it. Talk to me a little bit about how that has impacted other aspects of your life.
That's a whole nother talk show.
Do I need another hour?
You probably need another 5 hours. So, you know, being a business owner is not the easiest. You have your good days and you have your bad days. And then you have the days where it keeps you up at night because you know that you're not only responsible for clients, but you're responsible for other families because you have payroll and you have staff. As a business owner, even though I have a communications firm, I spend most of my day putting out fires, everything from payroll to benefits to client fires to staff fires. It's a very lonely journey. And as a matter of fact, to be completely transparent, Tuesday was one of those lonely days.
What do you mean?
I woke up with a client fire call, and then it was my phone wouldn't stop ringing. On top of that, I do have a daughter. She's 17 years old. 17-year-old daughter. So there's that, right? Trying to get her into college and out of high school, going through some, you know, personal things, getting work done. It was very overwhelming. It's a very lonely journey. So how does that impact my life, my personal life? I really don't have one.
Yeah, personal life. Yeah. Zero.
Go ahead, Faith.
I have two businesses. And, you know, my business partner on the front end was like, well, when we open this business, you're going to shut that business down, right? And I was like, no, that's where I make my money that allows me to open this business.
One, right.
But she was right. I wasn't capable of doing both. I mean, I have for the last 3.5 years, but it's been to the detriment of zero personal life for me. So, you know, like you don't, and you know, when you have 15 employees and you have payroll and you have call outs, I cannot tell you how many of my employees are on their way to the hospital. Oh, I'm like, okay.
Calling in sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, seriously, you're going to the hospital because you're not feeling well? But I mean, you know, you're always the person that has to fill in.
Always.
So you have, you know, you have no outside life to speak of.
Ron, I would imagine you would echo that because you've already run down a laundry list of businesses, and maybe the only time you had a chance to see your family is when you were in business with them.
Yeah, but I want to tell the ladies here as well as the folk that are listening, it's as equally important to spend time working on your business as you do working in it. And I think as business owners, many times we're our own worst enemy because we're spending the time. If somebody calls in, I got to fill in their day. I got to make payroll. I got to go get new clients. As opposed to saying, I'm going to cut away 2 hours a day or 5 hours a week to work on my business so that I can have a life. And if that means that I got to work on it so that I can hire someone to backfill or hire someone to do my payroll. But you got to think about working on it as much as we do about working in it, because many times we think we're the best employee. I can make the best ice cream out there. Chances are there's somebody that can make that ice cream. You got to spend your time finding that person, developing that person, and then giving them that opportunity to make sure that it's implemented correctly. And as business owners, that's where we got to be. We got to be thinking just like the IBMs of the world, the large corporations of the world. They didn't get there doing the work. They got there creating ideas and creating. That's what puts you in business for yourself.
Excellent.
Because you had the great idea. Now you become an employee.
Yep.
And we don't want you to be employees. We want you to be business owners that are growing so that we can continue to hire from within our communities, having better communications, having additional black radio stations around the country.
Well, there's that, too. excuse me. I only have a few minutes left. Veronica, what have you learned after 11 years that you did not know when you first started?
I learned that it's okay to fail.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a learning opportunity because we're not perfect. And that's one of the greatest lessons that I learned, that it's okay to fail. You're not perfect. that's, you know, and every time I make mistakes, I still make mistakes after 11 years. And let me be very transparent. Every mistake you could probably make it as a business owner, I've made them. But that makes me better at what I do today. Because at first, when I failed, I thought the world was coming to an end. But now, when I fail or make a mistake, I take a step back and say, okay, Veronica, what is it that you're supposed to learn? Because if you don't learn that lesson, you're going to make that mistake again. So,
Faith, what have you learned?
The most important aspect is being of service to your community, to your staff, to your, you know, customers, to the people that you serve. Like, how is it that you can provide a service and really be a part of building community?
Mm-hmm. And same for you, Ron. What have you learned after doing, you know, being on both sides of business, not only the, you know, the making money, but also now in this this chamber capacity service, I would argue?
Almost that the franchise model works. And what they do is they have systems. I worked in corporate America, and in the evenings, I went to go work for McDonald's. I worked at corporate America from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Coca-Cola, was a senior VP, and then went and worked at McDonald's from 8 to midnight. And it wasn't because I was needing the extra $8 an hour. It was because I wanted to learn the systems that they had. And I say this all the time. The same French fry you get in San Francisco, you get in Seattle, you get in Singapore. And it's because of the systems that they have implemented across the world. And as business owners, once we develop our great systems that put us in business, if we continue to fine tune those systems and make sure that everybody understands them, then we can kind of walk away and not feel tied to that business. And so for the folk in the room, as well as the folk that are listening, create the best systems that you can that will allow you to be able to have a couple of days off in the evenings or take care of your children or provide the best scoops of ice cream that is available to continue to grow, because we need successful businesses in D.C. as well as around the country.
Well, now here's the most important question. Were you a fry man or were you on shakes?
I did it all.
Okay, because see, I was a grill man for the morning, you know, and it's funny because, you know, people often wonder how they make those Egg McMuffins. You're right. There is a system. There is definitely a system to all of that. Listen, I want to thank all of you, Ron Busby, Veronica Gian, and Faith Holmes, for coming in and chatting with us. And as always, their information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com. And certainly we wish all of those entrepreneurs, budding or otherwise, all the success in the world. So thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University.